sad, broken-hearted at the altar I knelt, and I found His peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now I'm learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. There's glorious victory each day now for me, when I found His peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now I'm learning to lean, learning. On the Lord this glory to God, glory to God. I find Him to always be there for us, no matter what the situation is. God is a God at hand. Amen. So many times I think the world thinks He's way off somewhere, but He is a God at hand. Amen. And I appreciate that. His arm is not so short that it can't reach down to lift us up, encourage us, and help us through whatever problem we may face. Well, do we have any blessed folks in the house this morning? Amen. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord. Before we get into this morning's message, I just want to make an announcement. On March the 30th, is on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we will be having here, or allowing the Villarica Police Department to have, a threat awareness training. It's something that makes, for lack of a better thing, causes preparedness. So if you would like to attend, please come. It's no charge to anybody at all. They're going to be doing that March the 30th at 10 a.m. We did suggest that because of some of the video and some of the subject matter, parent discretion with your children. We suggested maybe 13 and up. But again, we leave that entirely up to you, because like we said, some of the subject matter may be a little beyond their ability to to be very comfortable with. So again, we'll leave that to you. But it's in the environment that we live in today, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's something that we need to do. So if you would want to be a part of that, again, it's March the 30th here at the church at 10 a.m. All right. If you have your Bibles, amen, go with us to the book of Joshua this morning. Amen. The book of Joshua. That pleased somebody. Amen. In the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, I want to read verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we love and thank you this morning, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your overwhelming love. God, for those who have gathered here today, God, for the purpose of worshiping and glorifying you. Father, I pray, God, that you choose this time to speak to our hearts. God, encourage our spirits to lift us up. Pray, God, that you would speak, Lord, through these lips of clay this morning, God, and that you would anoint this vessel, God, to be the oracle, God, to use, amen, to speak to us, that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, we do pray for those who are hurting, those who are suffering this morning, especially those who are lost and undone and have not made that choice to serve you. I pray, God, that you would bring them to an altar of repentance. And Father, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Truly, this is a very familiar book, very familiar chapter, a very familiar story. This is where the Lord led me this week, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will allow me to convey to you what He has placed upon my heart. If I was to title this message this morning, and I wrestled with it just a little bit, but I don't know anything better than just to title it, It's Time to Choose. It's time to choose. The day of contemplation should be over by now. The day of weighing in balances whether or not to serve the Lord or not should be a thing of the past. If nothing else, we have seen the mighty hand of God in our lives to persuade us, to cause us to believe that we must serve God. If you listen to the naysayers today, they've been so emboldened by what is going on that they will openly declare to you that there is no God, that the Word of God was just a group of people who got together to write some things that they believed in. And if you listen to the naysayers today, they'll tell you that there's no such thing as creation, everything just happened, and everything that the Word of God says is not backed up by science or by theory or by fact. But let me tell you something. God has always operated through and by faith. And we find that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God still works by faith. For us to understand and know the will and the mind of God, we must first have faith to believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we understand and know that without God that we're nothing. With God we're able to do all things, and thank God for that. The word choose is from a Greek word which means to select, to prefer, or to distinguish. And it involves careful consideration. I have thought in my time, especially as I was reading this and preparing and praying, how many decisions that I have made personally and how I've weighed those options of those decisions and not wanting to make a quick decision, not wanting to make especially the wrong decision. And I have put in careful prayer and consideration before making that choice. And I've learned to pray and say, Lord, help me to make the right decision. Because really, sometimes we don't understand and know what decision that we're making, what the future holds for that decision. But God holds the future. And when we pray and place it in His hands and ask God to lead us in our decision making, I will assure you things will be smoother. I recall a time when my dad owned a grocery store, and the candy rack was very low to the ground. And if you understand and know capitalism or commercialism, there's a reasoning for that. Because who are your best customers for candy? Little short people, amen, the little children that come in, and they were able to get, and it was really a kind of comical to watch them, because they would come with a handful of change, and a lot of times it would be pennies, and you got to understand that I'm talking about in a generation way back when there was such a thing as penny candy. Penny candy now, I understand, is about a quarter, 25 cents. But then it was a penny, and these little children, it was too young for them to really comprehend math and all, but they knew that they could place a penny by each candy. They put the little kisses out, or the bubble gum, or the little BB bats, or some of those other things of my generation, and they would put a penny by each one of them. And when they run out of pennies, that knew then they couldn't buy any more candy. So they was making that decision, and it was a very careful consideration, and they spent a lot of time and effort in that. And I think about the generation of today. So many decisions are made, amen, without any forethought whatsoever. Decisions are made that will make an astounding effect on people's lives for the rest of their life on this earth. Not only does it affect them, but it affects their family. It affects those who love them. Decisions should be weighed. Decisions should be considered. And decisions should be sanctioned by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I believe in every decision, ask God's counseling. We find here that the timing of this particular statement of Joshua is very interesting. Understand where Joshua came from. Joshua was one of the two spies that was handpicked by Moses to go into the land, to search out the land, to spy the land. And he, along with Caleb, came back with a positive and a good report. But the other 10 spies said, no, it is too difficult. It is too hard. There's giants in the land. We'll never be able to overcome them. But Joshua and Caleb looked at that land by faith, and they brought some of the fruit back. And they said, yes, we are more than able, amen, to go in and possess this land, not because we're stronger than they are, but because the God that we serve is stronger than they are. And He's promised this. I believe when God promises something to us, we don't have to worry about it anymore. We just have to claim it and act on faith. This same Joshua was the one that God chose to take the leadership after Moses had expired, and Moses went on to be with the Lord. And Joshua was a great, if you want to refer to him, he was a great tactician. He was a great leader, a great military leader. And I read a story and I read a comment about all the exploits of Joshua, and how that many, many times they were overwhelmed and by the enemy. The enemy was far superior to them and outnumbered them. But Joshua was able to rally the children of Israel, and they won battle after battle after battle. And the writer of this same story that I was reading said it was not Joshua, but it was because Joshua trusted in God. Amen. I believe Joshua would plainly tell us, if it had not been for God, if God was not on the side of Israel, if God was not there leading and guiding me, we would have never got through the battle. And one of the first battles, or one of the first tests, amen, to understand and know that Joshua was depending on God, was when they was fighting the battle, I believe it was the Amalekites, and Moses was standing there with his hands raised to God, signifying that, God, we surrender to you. And as long as Moses' hands was raised, Joshua and the children of Israel advanced, and they were able to overtake the enemy. But as soon as Moses' hands went down, the Amalekites began to prevail. So Aaron and Hur saw that, and they went and placed a stone for Moses to sit on, and they each held his hand up, and God was able to win the battle victoriously. Just a little bit of history of where Joshua's faith came from.
Now we find that Joshua, after he took the helm of leadership, they're on this side of Jordan, getting ready to cross that spiritual boundary into the Canaan land that flowed with milk and honey. That was a promise to Abraham and to his seed. The land was occupied by strong enemies, but God had promised Israel, you can go in and possess this land. And Joshua was getting ready, and he's dividing up the land, and he's going to march over the River Jordan and go into this land victorious. And time again, every enemy that came against them, amen, was totally beaten back because God was with Joshua and the children of Israel. So now I want to point you to chapter number 23, verses 1 and 2, in the same book of Joshua. And it came to pass, everybody say, it happened.
It happened.
You know, when every time that you see that in the Bible, understand and know it happened. And it came to pass, that means it definitely happened. A long time, say that with me, a long time. After that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. I was interested to see that particular statement. Again, Joshua calls, and the second time he's called, and he's prepared to present this message. In fact, one of his most powerful messages, and in fact, one of the very last messages that he would be able to stand and proclaim to the children of Israel. We find later on, just a short time after he had gathered them together and made this proclamation to them, that he went home to be with the Lord. But I want you to understand, when the Bible says, and it came to pass, and it happened after a long time, after the Lord had given rest unto Israel. Do you see and understand that there's not very much written during this long time span? There's not a whole lot mentioned about the children of Israel. That's the reason, is because they lived in peace and prosperity after God had given them rest from their battles. Rest from all of the armies that came against them. Rest from coming out of the wilderness. Rest and entered into that Canaan land that the Bible said flowed spiritually and naturally with milk and honey. It goes on to tell us that there's even living in houses that they didn't build. They're even reaping from vineyards that they did not plant. They're doing all of these wonderful things that they never had to turn a hand to do. But now they are the recipients of God's blessing. You would think that this would be a time of joy and appreciation and glorifying and magnifying the Lord and thanking Him for all that He has done and thanking Him for where He has brought them from. Egyptian bondage of over 400 years through a wilderness track after miracle, 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 and brought them into this land, that truly they would be a people of appreciation and love and adoration unto God. But this particular story tells us the exact opposite. That because of a long time without turmoil, without resistance, without battles to be fought, without wars to be won, without droughts to overcome, without a lack of food, the children of Israel had grown very complacent and comfortable in a land of plenty. There seemed to be less praying than there was in the wilderness. There seemed to be less dependency on God than when there was a battle to fight. They seemed to be less concerned about the things, amen, that they needed in life, because everything they needed was provided for them. I want you to understand, where we are today did not happen overnight. It has been a gradual process. It has been a gradual deterioration and breaking down of godly and moral principles that you and I grew up with and understand that as a nation we must adhere to certain principles and certain things. And as a people of God, we must be obedient and submissive to the Word of God. But when things are easy, hello? When everything is going smoothly, when there's not a bill to pay, when there's not a sickness to be healed, when there's not a trial to overcome, sometimes the rest that we're in causes us to be less dependent and acknowledgeable unto God. Joshua began to realize something as he grew to an older age, as he watched a nation progressively get worse and worse and farther from God. More dependent on what they had than who they served. More dependent on what they could do rather than what God can do. More dependent on fixing myself in life than fixing myself for eternal life. This is a very dangerous scenario. After a long time, our memory begins to wane a little bit. We seemingly don't remember or rehearse or testify as much about the blessings of God as we do when we just came out of the wilderness. As we do when we just filled our bellies full of heavenly manna. Come on, as we not near as much as we did when we were thirsty and about to die of thirst and God gave us water out of a rock. I would imagine there were some great testimonies then. But in a land of plenty, in a land when we can push God back and say, I don't really need you right now. I'll keep you on hold or I'll attain you for later on. We have become complacent as the children of Israel was in that day and hour. And Joshua looked around to see what had happened over this span of time the Bible describes as a long time. A long time. Now he notices that the children of Israel have adopted the ways of the world. The children of Israel has let idolatry creep in. Come on. Folks, do you know that we still have the ability to say no to the devil? Come on, we got the power to resist him. Not only to resist him, and I think we need to understand and know this, not only can we resist him, we can rebuke him in the name of Jesus. The devil cannot stand against the name of Jesus, against the authority and the power that Christ himself has infilled with us, amen, to give us power over demons, over situations, over problems, over trials, over afflictions, and over everything that comes against us, because God is in us and greater than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Joshua looked. I don't think Joshua just woke up one morning and got Mrs. Joshua and the kids and looked around and said, what's going on? But maybe Joshua is like so many of Christians today. Man, I just don't agree with what's going on in the world today, but what can I do about it? Just one person. I'm just a group of one church. What can I do? And we see things around us and we say, well, I don't agree with that, so I'm just not going to be a part of that. Maybe this long time saw all of these scenarios take place. Maybe whether or not Joshua and some of the elders wanted to admit it or not, they saw a transformation. They saw a change, and the change was not necessarily for the better. They saw less dependency on God. They saw less reverence to God. They saw less morality and less doctrines and statutes and precepts that had been carried down from generation to generation to generation, that what God always wanted to know or let the people know, that my word shall remain in you. It began to slowly, gradually slip away. Joshua recognized something. The time of waiting is over. The time of procrastination has come and gone. The time to worry whether or not I will hurt feelings is behind me. Because I am old and well stricken in age, he said. And if I'm going to preach this final message, if I'm going to preach this sermon, then I'm going to let it all hang out. I'm going to tell you, you got to turn from your evil ways. I got to tell you, you got to be set apart. You got to be a chosen people. You got to be a people that are still reverencing God and still serving God and still true to the Word, regardless of what your neighbors do, regardless of what those around you do. It's time to make a choice. Amen. It's time now to stand for the Lord. It's now time. Amen. We can't put it off to tomorrow, because let me tell you, I don't know whether tomorrow will come or not. Joshua begins to pray. And I can almost hear Joshua's prayer. Brother, how can you say that? Because I can relate. As a pastor, I can relate. And when I see people struggling, and when I see situations that are overwhelming, and it's just tearing people apart, I say, God, strengthen them. God, help them to make the right decision. Help them to make the right choice. And I believe that Joshua loved Israel. I truly believe that he did. I believe that he was an anointed man of God. And I believe that he prayed, God, how can I stir the people? How can I wake them up out of their spiritual sleep? God, what can I say? What can I do? If I get it within myself, God, I'll make a mess, but I need you to anoint me to stand and proclaim to this people to serve you again with their whole heart, their whole mind. And you know what? When you pray with sincerity, God will answer you. I said, when you pray a sincere prayer, an earnest prayer, God will answer you. It may not be what you expected. May not even be what you desired. God will speak to you. And I believe God spoke to Joshua. And I want to just pause just a minute. Because one precious thing that I've learned about our seniors. And I'm not being facetious. I'm not being offensive. But I see this in my mother. Mother may not tell me what day it is. Sometimes mother struggles to tell me who I am. But my mother remembers the night she got the Holy Ghost. She remembers how God healed her of an almost nervous breakdown. She remembers how God touched my younger brother's arm and made it straight. She remembers all of those things that are godly, that pertain to a long time ago. And I believe God spoke to Joshua. He said, remind them of where I brought them from. Joshua, you ain't got to have eloquent speech. You don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to be one with fancy words. If you'll just remind the people of where I brought them from, if you'll just remind the people of the many battles that they have been able to overcome through my power, if you'll just remind them of the many miracles I performed them in the wilderness journey and what I have provided for them, and let them know that without me they would not be a nation, they would not be a people, they would not be hope. I want to remind the United States of America today where God has brought us from, what God has done for us. We're not perfect, but we're not what we used to be either. I want to pray and proclaim to us today the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that we can depend on today. Can I remind you? Hallelujah. So he proceeds to remind them in the 24th chapter. Joshua said unto all the people in the second verse, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side. How many remembers the other side? Of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron. And I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them unto your hand that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose with war against Israel, sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. The Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Gershesites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hands. Hallelujah. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even to the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods. Put away the sins. Put away the things of the world which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And it's your choice. Because I can't make you do it. No one can make you do it. But I just reminded you what God has done for you and your fathers and their fathers and the generations before you. But yet you sit idly by. Yet you seemingly are unconcerned. Yet By not choosing, you've made your choice. By not declaring that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you've made your choice to serve the gods of this world. After serious consideration, after being selective, and after valuing the choices, Joshua said, I only have one choice. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. And there was a sense of emergency, I believe, in Joshua's presentation. Because he said, choose you this day. This day. But then why this day? Why March 17th, 2019? Because March 18th, 2019 is not promised to any of us. It's not. Probably many of us already have plans for tomorrow, next week. But can I tell you, not only could God take our life like that, but the things we see happening in this world today could let us know that we don't have another day on this face of earth. I want to make the choice. I want to do what's right. But I'm just not ready. I'm not at that point in my life where I can say that I can serve the Lord or that I can be dedicated unto Him. Joshua said, choose this day. Choose this day. I can't make that choice for you, but I can declare unto you that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. There is a gradual erosion today of morals, of kindness, of love. But that doesn't mean it has to affect the church. That doesn't mean it should affect children of God. We should be more determined today to make the statement that Joshua made. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what he's saying? As for me and my house, it's not an option. It's not an option. Amen. I made this choice a long, long time ago. And I'm going to see it through to the end. Amen. I didn't enter this race, amen, to just take off and fall by the wayside. But let me tell you something. This race is long. You have to endure this race. It's not always easy. Amen. But praise God. The finish line, I believe, is in sight. The finish line is in sight. Hallelujah. One of these days. One of these days. Hallelujah. We're going to cross over that spiritual Jordan. Enter into that land of rest and peace forevermore with the glorified body that Jesus has given us. To me, it doesn't even seem like there is a choice. But I'm going to choose the Lord. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you have made that sincere choice to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. Would you stand? Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Please reverence the Spirit of God that is in this place. Hallelujah. Is there one this morning?